subscribed utterly to the Sylvest doctrine, and also because the gross failures of the 80 had soured many on the idea of transmigration. But their work had been discreet, correcting genetic abnormalities in newborns, ironing out inherited defects in supposedly pure clan lines. It was work which became more invisible the more adeptly it was done, like an exceedingly efficient assassination, in which the crime did not appear to have happened at all, and in which no one remembered who the victim was in the first place. The Mixmasters worked like the restorers of damaged art, trying to bring as little of their own vision to the matter as possible, and yet the power of transformation they held was awesome. But it was held in check, because society could not tolerate two massively transforming pressures operating at once, and on some level the Mixmasters knew this. To unleash their art would have been to rip Yellowstone culture to shreds. But then the plague had come. Society had indeed been ripped to shreds, but like an asteroid blasted with a too small demolition charge, the pieces had not gained sufficient escape velocity to fly apart completely. Yellowstone society had crashed back into existence, fragmented, jumbled, and liable to crumble at any instant. But it was society nonetheless, and a society in which the ideologies of cybernetics were momentarily a kind of heresy. The Mixmasters had slipped effortlessly into the power vacuum. "They maintain parlors throughout the canopy," Chantrell said, "places where you can get your heritage read, check out your clan affiliations, or look over the brochures for makeovers." She indicated her eyes. "Anything you weren't born with or weren't meant to inherit can be transplants, although that's reasonably rare, unless you're after something outrageous like a set of Pegasus wings. More likely it's going to be genetic. The Mixmasters rewire your DNA so that the changes happen naturally, or as close to naturally as makes no difference." "How would that happen?" "It's simple. When you cut yourself, does the wound heal over in fur or scales? Of course not. There's a knowledge of your body's architecture buried deep in your DNA. All the Mixmasters do is edit that knowledge very selectively, so that your body carries on doing its job of maintenance against injury and wear and tear, but with the wrong local blueprint. You end up growing something that was never meant to be expressed in your phenotype." Chantrell paused. "Like I said, there are parlors throughout the canopy where they ply their trade. If you're curious about your eyes, perhaps we could stop by." "What have my eyes got to do with it?" "Don't you think there's something wrong with them?" "I don't know," I said, trying hard not to sound sullen. "But maybe you're right. Maybe the Mixmasters can tell me something. Are they confidential?" "As confidential as anyone around here." "Great. That really reassures me." The nearest parlor was one of the holographically fronted booths we had already passed on our way in, overlooking a tranquil pool filled with gape-mouthed koi. Inside, it made Dominica's tent seem spacious. The male attendant wore a relatively sober tunic in ash grey, offset only by the sigil of the Mixmasters below his shoulder, a pair of outstretched hands spanned by a cat's cradle of DNA. He was sitting behind a floating console shaped like a boomerang, above which various molecular projections were rotating and pulsing, their bright primary colours evoking nursery toys. His gauntleted hands were dancing above the molecules, orchestrating complex cascades of fission and recombination. I was certain that he had noticed us as soon as we entered the booth, but he made no show of it, and continued his manipulations for another minute or so, before deigning to acknowledge our presence. "I presume I may be of assistance?" Chantrell took the